News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Time right now, 2:23 p.m. By the way, if you find yourself getting outside the range, our overly broad range, I like to say, of our AM-FM capability here at WVNN, it does not matter. It don't matter at all. Just go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and on there, there's a place where you can click Listen Live, and just basically, I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. That's why we have people that listen all over the place. People also go to that website, and they also download, you know, our podcast. So the show, every single day, Copper segments it out, gets it ready, kind of packages it up, and then Birdman uploads it into every form of podcasting that is out there and available for the most part. And on that website, you'll find those as well. So if you're like a Apple podcaster, if you're a Google, if you're a Podbean or whatever the case may be, it's there. And we've got tons of people that download. In fact, Birdman made the stats for me today. He put together a report that I'm going to take to some folks tomorrow. And how cool is this? I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out how in the world it came out to be that the second highest state for downloads of our show is California. Copper, I think we're just doing flat out ministry at that point. We're like reaching into foreign territory.
Ooh, yep.
but that all comes through the website, folks, by the way. So rightsideradio.org, it's got everything on there. It's even got a link to our Right Side store if you want to order a coffee mug or a t-shirt. It's on there. Just cool. I'm having fun with that. All right. Hey, listen, some breaking news, by the way. I'm going to do a whole section on military stuff here a little bit. But a breaking news is overnight and updated as of the last couple hours, is that U.S. Special Operations conducted a raid in Syria and took out what is believed to be the head of ISIS. As you may remember, some years back, we took out al-Baghdadi, who was the then leader of ISIS. This guy's name was apparently his successor. Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was apparently the new head. I say new. He was the head of ISIS since we took out al-Baghdadi. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that was his name. Anyway, U.S. Special Operations Forces conducted this raid, which the Biden administration is saying is the largest raid since the taking out of bin Laden. It involved multiple helicopters with an unknown number of Special Operations Forces who hit the ground, and the witnesses on the scene are saying it took several hours, that there was a lot of gunfire, and that the guy they took out may have been wearing a suicide vest and detonated it rather than be taken alive or killed by U.S. forces. So I'm sure they will say he martyred himself, but in reality what he did was he was a coward, and he took out his whole family and others that were in the building with him. No U.S. troops were killed, although they did apparently have to destroy one of their helicopters, which they don't specify. They say it was not a result of enemy action, but this helicopter did, it was one of the MH-60 Black Hawks that Special Ops flies. And that they had to take it out because it developed some type of mechanical difficulties. It had to go down, and they had to destroy it on the ground and not leave it behind for enemy forces. Anyway, all that to say, God bless them. I'm giving you the details as I see them. In fact, I'm looking over at the big screen here in the studio, and yep, it's on the big screen right now too. Somebody uploaded a homemade video, like, you know, cell phone style. I haven't seen it yet, but one of the reports I read said that there is a video out there of helicopters flying by with gunfire from the helicopters themselves. That's all I know, folks. I'm just telling you. But it appears that U.S. Special Operations Forces did conduct a massive raid in Syria and took out a known terrorist organizer, the head of ISIS. So we're continuing to try and cut the head off the snake with these raids. And, you know, personally, I got no problem with that. All right, more of that as the show goes on. If I see new updates, I will let you know. But we've got a full slate of stuff right now. I'm going to be getting into some things that are happening in Montgomery, happening around our state, and happening around the world, because it's amazing, literally, what is apparently worth protesting over. So you're going to want to hear in a minute why your own national anthem is apparently being protested on the floor of the Alabama State Senate. Last night, I was looking at Mary Sell on Twitter. Mary is a reporter for Alabama Daily News. She used to be with the Decatur Daily. To me, she's one of the better reporters in Montgomery. Mary Sell was tweeting out last night that everything came to a grinding halt when Senator Roger Smitherman decided he was going to go, quote, slow things down. And that's, I've seen Roger do that multiple times. Senator Smitherman is one of the best at slowing things down. And you can always tell when he's got it going on because he gets that look and he stops smiling and he walks nice and slow to the podium. Just kind of nice and slow. Like he's on a mission and gearing himself up. And he got the podium and he began to protest, but it kind of surprised people because apparently what he was doing was he was protesting the Star Spangled Banner. There's a bill right now, I believe by Senator Gerald Allen of Tuscaloosa. This particular bill would say that the Star Spangled Banner should be played at public schools and athletic events. Okay. You know, it's what I would call a populist bill, but I got no problem with it. I mean, I don't ever mind hearing the national anthem played, and I thought it was the law that in large assemblies you had to play it. Well, apparently Roger Smitherman believes it's a racist song. You heard me. I'll tell you all about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, which is what it says on our t-shirts, by the way. It does, right across the back of it, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm in this first section of the Triple Dipper, and I'm calling it, What's All the Fuss, Libs? That's the section here I'm in. What's all the fuss, Libs? I mean, literally, it's like they've got to have something to cry victim about at every single turn. Every single turn. So the first that I'll point out is an Alabama-based story. Looking at a story on AL.com, I had flashes of, you know, okay, wait a minute, this is very familiar, isn't it? Yeah, I saw that Mary Sell, reporter for Alabama Daily News, is reporting as of yesterday afternoon that State Senator Roger Smitherman, Democrat from Birmingham, was on the floor of the Senate doing what he called slowing things down. And I've heard Roger say that multiple times. We're going to slow things down. And he'd get up there and just basically filibuster things that he didn't care about to stop things from happening that he did care about. And he's protesting the Star-Spangled Banner, literally, our national anthem. Well, story from February of last year. I went and looked. Yes, indeed. There it was. AL.com, February 10th, 2021. A bill calling for Alabama public schools to play the Star-Spangled Banner weekly and at athletic events sparked an impassioned debate in a Senate Education Committee Wednesday afternoon. Senator Gerald Allen had filed the bill. Senator Roger Smitherman, ta-da, my memory was correct, said the state should not require playing the anthem when the lyrics in the third verse are objectionable. Read the words, he said. Read the words. Well, the words he's referring to, how many of y'all have ever heard this? Nobody knows this. Nobody's ever heard this. Apparently, the third stanza of the national anthem says, no refuge could save the hireling, let me start up again. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. The fact that slave is used in that stanza, in some people's minds, to include Senator Smitherman, is an indication that it's a racist song. No, it's not. You know what? Here's the bottom line is, first of all, we don't know what was in Francis Scott Key's mind when he wrote that. What we do know, though, too, is that the defense of Fort McHenry, which is what the national anthem was first called and what it was written about, the defense of Fort McHenry had a variety of components in it. First of all, it was at a time, unfortunately, when slavery did exist. It was also at a time, though, when there were freed slaves fighting on behalf of the British that he may have been talking about. There were and hirelings, which were maybe potentially mercenaries. But then at the same time, during the defense of Fort McHenry, we know for a fact that there were both black and white citizens of the United States who were fighting the British. What was he referring to? We don't know. All we know is this. The heat of the battle, he said, was something that no refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave, meaning what a horrible moment it was in. So here's the bottom line. It's not racist. But, you know, liberals will find something to cry about at every given turn. And by the way, Roger Smitherman and I butted heads a lot when I was down there, but I like him. All right, so we got along fine, sometimes grudgingly, but at the same time, there was like a mutual respect that I enjoyed with him. And I think he's just wrong on this one. But that led me into a variety of things. All right, I got a buffet of items here. I got a veritable cornucopia, a vast plethora, if you will, a buffet of liberalness. You ready? Here we go. Number one, article in National Review. National Review, dated yesterday, 2/2/22. Snowflakes should not be in law school. Well, I agree. This is amazing to me. I'm not even sure who Ilya Shapiro is. I need to look that up, I guess. But Ilya Shapiro apparently tweeted out something along the lines of what I've been saying, which is that President Biden's pick for the state for the U.S. Supreme Court should not be based upon race and gender. All right. Well, that was said too. And yet students, here you go. You ready? Here we go. What's all the fuss about, libs? Well, students holding a sit-in protest demanded certain things from Georgetown Law School yesterday. And they had a confrontation with the article calls them a noodle-spined dean. Says a student, first of all, demanded that the dean cover for the classes that the activists had missed as a result of their sit-in. How about no? If you're absent, you're absent. It was your choice. Suggesting that the move should be made part of a reparations package for black students. She followed up by insisting that students be given a designated place on campus to cry. These people are not going to succeed in life. The quote is, quote, is there an office they can go to? I don't know what it would look like, but if they want to cry, if they need to break down, where can they go? Because we're at a point where students are coming out of class to go to the bathroom and cry. And the author of the article makes the point, these people have no business becoming lawyers. Can you imagine? You go to court. It's on the issue. It deals with your life. You know, the defense of your rights, your business, whatever the case may be. And your lawyer cries in the courtroom. And just, judge, can I have a moment? I need to go. Do we have a cry room in the courthouse? It doesn't work that way in real life, but it does for these liberals. What's all the fuss about, libs? So, it goes on. I could say more, but the reality is you get the point. And the author of this article, by the way, in National Review, also says, you know what? We could also take them literally. We could take them seriously. Because worse is the likelihood that this apparent snowflakery is not just actual emotional fragility, but a deliberate emotional manipulation. And that's another thought. They don't, by the way, you give them a cry room, they're going to want to have a cry building at that point. If you give them an apology, they're going to want reparation monies. I mean, it never stops. All right, how about this? Next. What else you got, Phil? I got stuff. I got a pile of stuff. It's all highlighted. I'm ready to roll. How about this? Title of the Political Insider, dated 2 days ago, AOC, that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the hyphenated name of the junior congresswoman from New York. AOC says she's been avoiding Twitter due to anxiety after being criticized for getting COVID and partying maskless in Florida. Of course she is. Far-left Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says she's been avoiding Twitter since she tested positive for COVID-19 days after being spotted partying maskless in Florida because it gives her anxiety. She even said, yes, well, yeah, I've been laying off of it. I go to open the Twitter app and I almost feel like anxious. You know, people like kind of fight and gossip and all this other stuff so much. She's a congresswoman. She is helping pass the laws of this nation. And she is getting anxiety from social media. How in God's green earth did she become a congresswoman if her world is so rocked by people saying mean things on Twitter? God almighty. All right, let's move on down the line. Storyline from the Political Insider again, dated February 1st. MSNBC's Joy Reid claims that the parents' movement, this is in the education arena, that the parents' movement is fake and blames, you guessed it, white grievance and rage. K. On Friday, MSNBC host Joy Reid ran a segment in which she claimed that the recent trend of parents getting involved in education is this phony astroturfing, all in the service of, quote, white grievance and rage. She started off, you know, talking about, you know, books and in how we get irritated when there's like, you know, books that have, you know, Mommy Has Two Genders or whatever as a title. Listen, she goes ahead and says, strip off that veneer. It's about so much more. It's about getting out the Republic vote by riling up white voters. It's also about distracting those voters, because distraction and sleight of hand is basically what modern Republican politics is all about. It sure ain't about governing, she insisted. And then she went on to say, it's about selling white grievance and rage, the same rage that produces attacks on Asian Americans and Jewish people in our capital rather than fight inflation. Oh, my gosh. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Victim, victim, you're victim. Wow. Well, listen, I've got an audio clip. Copper, I didn't tell you, but go ahead, if you would, please, and get clip number, which one is it? Two. Would you get clip two ready for me? And have that. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about what's happening up in liberal D.C. Maybe I'll get to what happened with Whoopi Goldberg. And for that matter, maybe I'll tell you about the liberal group that is getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars to help illegal immigrants to skirt deportation. Copper, move us to a break. When we come back from this break right here, folks, I'll have more stuff to entertain you, maybe irritate you, make you laugh, and also make you wary of the fact that there are people out there right now who just, you know, like to fuss. What's all the fuss about, libs? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Yep, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, we're moving through a section of the Triple Dipper today that I just call What's All the Fuss, Libs? Because they're always fussing about something, and they're always taking action that makes it out to be as if you are wrong somehow. Isn't that amazing how liberals can take your actions, which were nothing more than what you're allowed to do or allowed to believe, or for that matter, is right, and they make you out to be the one who's wrong somehow, and they demand their apologies, and they take punitive action when they can, dox you, shut down your business, whatever the case may be. Well, I got a story. I mean, I've got several here. I mean, you've heard about the thing with Spotify, right? I'll be honest with you. I've not even listened to a Joe Rogan podcast. I'm going to now. I mean, I've just never had the opportunity, never had any reason not to like him. I don't know anything. I've never listened to his stuff. But I am now. Why? Because literally Joe Rogan has been the target of libs who are demanding that Spotify take him off their platform. And Spotify basically said, no. I mean, you got, you know, the 150-year-old rocker Neil Young demanding that it's either my music or his stuff. Guess what they chose? They chose his stuff, and Neil Young's music came off of Spotify. Yeah, so the end result is this. They will do all they can to make your life miserable. Copper, you good on clip two? You good to go there? I see you had ready up. You just go ahead and highlight it for me. I'll know you are indeed. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's the other place, though, that we have seen liberals demand things of us that are, you know, unreasonable, that are, you know, just basically coming at you because you won't do what they say. Well, how about the world of COVID? And I've got a whole section on COVID later, but this one played into this section because Liberal Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C. is one of the most restrictive and overreaching mayors. I mean, she has become a tyrant. Well, there's a business that resisted. How dare they? A business called The Big Board. It's a restaurant slash bar. You know, it's a guy who's just basically put his whole life into building his personal business. He's got staff that have been with him for 10 years, and the city has shut them down. Why? Because it was reported by someone that they weren't wearing masks. And because The Big Board also said that they don't intend to be the vaccine police. They're not doing the whole checking everybody's papers thing. And so what happened? They first had their liquor license pulled, and then they got shut down altogether. They've lost their livelihood. Everybody there is now out of a job. Why? Because Mayor Muriel Bowser decided that they had to make an example of somebody, and they chose The Big Board. I've got an article right here from Washington Examiner. Washington Examiner dated February 1st, two days ago. Senator Rand Paul and several other Republican members of Congress showed up at The Big Board, which was a business known for defying COVID vaccine and masking mandates, to show support for the establishment just hours after it was actually given a shutdown notice. So Paul and members of his staff devoured burgers at The Big Board, a restaurant that they had planned to visit the week before, but they didn't get a chance to come over. But they heard that it was being shut down, and they went over there, and they ate well on the last night that it was going to be open for a while. So the guy who owns The Big Board did an interview on Fox, and that's what clip two is. So let's do this. I want to take a second, and I want you just to hear. He's got the best attitude, but he's also saying it's hurting. It's hurting a lot. But he says in this article I've got right here, he literally says that he plans to appeal the decision, but he says, when people ask me, what are you going to do? What are you going to get on the other side of this? He says, I don't know. I just know I'm doing the right thing. He said, I decided this bar was going to be what it is, which is a place where everybody's welcome. My servers, they're not some lesser, some kind of people that need to be masked. They don't carry disease. They wash their hands. They're clean. They follow the guidance. What he's basically saying was he knew he had to make a stand. Copper, clip two, if you would, please go ahead and play it.
Blood, sweat, and tears into, not to speak of money, is closed.
I'm really sad, but you know what I'm really sad for is all my workers. They've been here for 10 years, Laura. They come in, they come to work. My cook that was cooking food last night, he was here on the day we opened. The bartender who was serving non-alcoholic drinks last night, he's been here for 9.5 years. They want to be working. They came down here through the whole pandemic. Well, everybody was staying in their house. They came down here and worked. So that's really the saddest part for me.
Now, Eric, Mayor Bowser swears she didn't want to shut down your bar. Watch.
I like the business to comply, and we don't want to shut anybody down. And that's how we've approached this throughout this 20-some months of this pandemic. We want to give people support, advice, supplies, help, whatever they need, but we do need them to follow the regulations.
Now, did anyone shut her down for the multiple times she violated her own mask mandates? I mean, come on. Eric, how much help did her administration give your business before they first revoked your liquor license, then they shut you down completely?
Yeah, they came down and they do some things. The health department was down here. They came for a random inspection. Somebody who had willfully opened up the door and walked in was worried that the servers and bartenders weren't wearing masks. They came in before they even did our follow-up inspection where I had fixed everything that they were there, and I have the report that shows everything that they asked me to fix was fixed. They already had the door placard that they were going to put on to close us down.
Eric, at this point, what do you say to other restaurateurs and bar owners in D.C.?
You can stop it there, Cop.
They are complying.
You can go ahead and stop it there. Yeah, thanks. So what you just heard there, I heard Muriel Bowser say it. We don't want to shut the business down, but we want them to comply. That's what I heard. You didn't do what we said. We had an idea. Never mind the fact that cities, states, all over this nation do not have draconian measures. You've got the city of Denver, liberal city of Denver, that's lifting all restrictions on society. You've got literally the entire state of Florida, the state of Alabama, and others. But liberal Mayor Muriel Bowser, she's got a fuss. She's got a fuss because, wait, I'm in charge here. I'm in charge. You got to do what I say because I think I know things. It's all the fuss about libs. Well, they'll shut you down if they get a chance. How dare he not apologize? How dare he attempt to keep his employees at work? I hope he takes his business and becomes extremely successful outside the boundaries of the Beltway. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, we should be having Dr. Wayne Reynolds from the State Board of Education call in, talk about school choice. He didn't like the bill yesterday. We'll see what he says today. Be right back.